Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Darius Watson, associate professor at Lincoln University. Hello, Darius.
Hi, how you doing?
So Darius is joining us. We're going to talk about public safety issues. And first, I want to do a little housekeeping here. We are wearing masks, so we will do our best to speak up, speak slowly, and in hopes that we can enunciate and you can understand what we're saying. So Darius, let's talk about public safety. We have a town hall coming up on October 15th that starts at 6:30. How did this whole concept start? And let's just kind of walk through how we began this and where we're at now.
Well, I've been working obviously with you and with President Wolfolk at Lincoln University, specifically through her assistant, Carlos Graham. And originally, we had also been working quite closely with Dr. Linthicum, superintendent of public schools. And as you well know, we started this program, we started talking about this, I think it might have been November or December of 2019.
Right.
And our original focus was going to be on really trying to drill down into the various components and issues surrounding education in Jeff City.
Right.
Well, then coronavirus hits.
Right.
And not just coronavirus, but quite frankly, I think this year has been in many ways kind of symbolized by a variety of different social and political points of upheaval.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't give up the idea, but obviously we had to adjust. And the two adjustments we made were first, putting the whole thing on virtually, again, to just to address continuing lingering issues and concerns about COVID and group gatherings. But also we thought it was ultimately more appropriate to transition the concept away from education and deal with what seemed to be on the front of everybody's minds, and that being public safety.
Right.
And so that's kind of how we've gotten to this point today.
Okay. So let's back up for a second. So part of the concept there too is this town hall that we're having on October 15th is just one piece of this.
Yeah.
The goal, as I recall of our discussion, we were looking at an opportunity of how you engage the community in conversation to address topics that concerns they have. And then the goal would, we would bring stakeholders together, people who could take those ideas, take those thoughts or concerns and do something with it. So kind of walk through just the general idea of how this works.
Well, I think most people, whether they've been directly involved in one or they've heard of them or even maybe seen them on TV or relative to some of the national political activities, the town hall concept is as basic as it gets, and it goes all the way back to the founding of the country. The idea of just gathering community members, soliciting direct input from the community on key issues for that community. I would argue that one of the issues that has perhaps undermined or limited the effectiveness of town halls over time is the carry-through. Specifically, how are you then translating what you get from the community to practical initiatives and changes of the very issues that they brought up in the first place? And so why I think this is a kind of unique approach to the entire concept is that we're not just stopping with the town hall. We're not just stopping with a taking of the temperature, if you will. Our goal is to then take that, distill it down into practical considerations that those stakeholders can then use to operate, to really create, whether it's a law or an initiative or a new program, but to really substantively address what we get from the town hall. And I'll be honest, not only do I think that this is a potential framework for an annual event and, you know, changing the topics and the foci, I have yet to see any structure like this in other communities and other municipalities. So I'm hoping at some point that we are actually creating a standard and a model that other communities might ultimately duplicate.
Yeah. I'm recalling a conversation. We had a gathering early on when we thought it was still education. It had Larry Linthicum there. It had some folks from public safety, had some other law enforcement types there as well, the Lincoln University. And so we were just talking in that point about education. And one of the discussions we got off on, too, was about school resource officers. At that point, the whole public safety concept started, and that seemed to be a natural discussion. And I found it very interesting to watch the interaction between the school district and the public safety folks just about you know, from their perspective, mm-hmm. what they knew about these individual programs, how they worked individually. And it really struck me at that point how well that stakeholder meeting that ideally we're thinking is going to mm-hmm. be sometime in the spring after the new year, how that really can bring people together and they can work together on a problem rather than being kind of siloed, figuring this is how we deal with our issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's just to say, and it's ironic that I actually just received about an hour ago an update. One of the most important supporters from the very beginning has been Director Sandy Carson at DPS. Mm-hmm. And not only through her personal involvement, but her ability, for instance, to engage everybody from SEMA to Highway Patrol. And so just by default, we had a much broader reach than perhaps we would have had initially. One of the things that's really struck me is how much public safety is on the minds of everyone, but the degree to which we're able to really engage the specific issues often stop at the doors of the individual stakeholders.
Right.
And not just, and what's important to in my mind, and one of the things that maybe inhibits real public engagement with some of these issues, and public safety, education, is the degree to which not only are the individuals expected to, you know, you're the head of the police force, you're the one that should be taking care of all public safety in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're vested with the responsibilities for both success and failure.
Right.
And when we really get down to it, regardless of how large the agency or organization is, we're often talking about a small group of individuals. And those stakeholders inevitably, and I've seen this in Jeff City, to be frank, there are varying levels of hesitancy, not because they don't want something to change or don't want to make improvements, but because maybe historically it's been met with reticence or even aggressive defense to the point that now the individual, the stakeholder, who's trying to create change is now on the defensive, sometimes even personally so.
Right.
And so my own perspective was that was a major stumbling block, especially when you consider that I have yet to meet a single person in Jeff City who does not have some desire to see improvement. It's not as if anyone is sitting back going, nope, we like things just the way they are, everything's fine.
Right.
I haven't gotten that from anyone. And so, to me, the real, and I don't pretend to be some genius here, it seemed rather obvious that when you got a bunch of people that want to make something happen, the easiest way to make that happen is to get them all in the same room.
Right.
And so that's the whole rationale behind this. And the email that I was sent this morning indicated that we have several top-end stakeholders who are already committed, from the mayor's office, members of the city council, SEMA representative, DPS representative, highway patrol, and we haven't even reached out to the secondary layers, the Capitol Police. So right. I actually expect that we will have probably 30 of the most important decision makers in public safety across community representatives, advocacy groups, as well as law enforcement, the courts. We've really tried to go out of our way to make sure everyone in the community is represented. And I think that alone is going to add to its overall potential for success.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk some specifics here. So as you mentioned, because of COVID, we decided we would make this a virtual program. So again, 6:30 this coming Thursday, October 15th is when it will be. You can check out the event at newstribune.com, krcgtv.com, and Lincoln University's website
The Facebook and our Facebook page and our media page will also be carrying it.
Okay, so multiple opportunities where you can participate in this. There are ways that you can participate now, however.
Yep.
The goal behind this is, first of all, we want to get listeners, readers, the community to submit questions, to submit ideas to a panel. So let's talk about these panelists who will be here at this forum. Their purpose is mainly to just start the conversation, right? Yeah.
And I mean, the key in my mind is that the panelists represent you could call it a buffer, you could call it the nexus, if you will, between the raw emotion and perspectives and understandings of the community, and then how they need to be conditioned or translated for actual action amongst the stakeholders. And so, you know, whether we're talking about Mr. Rod Chappell or Ms. Gina Clement or Judge Cotton Walker, these individuals, they've already kind of laid their claim, so to speak, as being a part of the community, of caring about the community, mm-hmm. and of really wanting to make changes. And so in my mind, I thought it was an excellent idea to use them to then transition those community perspectives in such a way as they also have a relationship with stakeholders. And so as the representatives of the community, I think that's going to create much better buy-in from both sides, right. both the community in terms of representing and recognizing the representatives and the stakeholders already having worked with these community representatives.
Right. So they basically serve as a bridge. They're not going to be the ones to solve the problem. You're not going to get former Sheriff Greg White.
Right.
He's not going to solve the problem. His goal is to understand the perspective of law enforcement in this instance, so that if he's having a conversation with someone, then that's represented there. So
yeah.
Let's kind of walk through who some of the panelists are.
Okay.
So we've spotlighted a couple of them. Mm-hmm. So we've got Greg White, yep. former Cole County Sheriff. We've got Gina Clement, who's with CASA, Court-Appointed yep. Special Advocates.
Yep.
Again, they deal with children in the courtroom.
Yep.
Judge Cotton Walker, Rod Chappell.
Yep.
Who is state director of the NAACP, and Michael Coutee, who is a juvenile court administrator, juvenile officer with the 19th Judicial Court. He also is a former school board member. So again, a wide range of very influential, knowledgeable people on this panelist, and their goal is to basically keep the discussion going.
Yeah, and I mean, from my perspective, and I again, I'm relatively new to the community, and so I've had to do a little of my own research and background. And every one of these individuals, I can't stress it enough, none of them just talk the talk. They have all been directly involved in previous attempts to address community issues, improve community safety and public safety in particular. And so to me, it just was a no-brainer that these would be the sorts of individuals that we'd want, you know, kind of not just representing the stakeholders, but representing the community in a way that ultimately brings everybody together.
Right. Right. As we said, and again, I'm going to say this multiple times, it's 6:30 p.m. 6:30, 7:30 is what we're thinking on Thursday, October 15th. You'll be able to access it through KRCG's TV's yep. website, Lincoln's website, News Tribune's website. You have an opportunity now to submit questions. You don't have to wait until the event and stand in line trying to get your question in
mm-hmm.
or your comment. From our perspective, you can go to newstribune.com/townhall, and it will take you to a Google form where you can type in your question or your thoughts, and then it will be, Darius will gather them, and they will be there for the forum.
And we've already gotten close to 24 questions already.
Good.
And that's really, to be honest, I mean, we are just the very beginnings of the now week-long promos that we're going to be doing, so I anticipate having over 100 questions from the community
yeah.
by the time the night comes. And just as a reminder, that question link will be open and available actually not just up to, but through the event. So our goal is that if there are any questions that come up during the event, you should feel inclined to log into the link, post that question, and as long as it's relevant to what we're discussing, that'll be another one. So you'll have direct and immediate ability to impact and engage with the panelists.
And I think it's also important for folks to realize, too, that, you know, it's an hour program. I mean, if you're not going to get through 100 questions. There are 100 thoughts. But the goal is that we amass this, and then we give them to the stakeholders. The goal is to basically find the solution. Our goal is not to ignore things that don't get aired, but to put them in the right place where somebody who could potentially address this can address it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there are specific issues. This isn't just a general, you know, oh, how can we make, you know, Jefferson City happy? You brought up the school resource officer issue, and that's come up, quite frankly, that is a issue that the public, the schools, and law enforcement would all like to engage to make sure that it's more efficient and effective in terms of what the intentions are for the program within the schools.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are also issues with regards to, you know, the weekend nighttime, you know, violence and parties, and how much are we offering as a community? How much are we offering our youth opportunities to do things on a Friday or Saturday night that don't involve gathering 250 people in a public, you know, space with no guidance, no oversight?
Right.
So, I mean, these are just a few things. I mean, I've already had people bring up things like the Neighborhood Watch specific programs improving the safety of children, specifically, whether it's on their way to school or on weekends. Or so, I mean, it really important to me, and one of the things that I really wanted to move past was that sort of general air of discussion that you get with a lot of town halls.
Right.
And then everybody goes off to Dairy Queen, grabs some ice cream, and then we'll wait for the next town hall. In my mind, I really think that the game changer component here is that we will not only be listening, but we will be taking notes.
Yeah.
And those notes will be specifically passed on to the stakeholders, right down to, I envision for the stakeholders meeting, let's say we come up with 3 or 4 key agenda items. That's going to be how that roundtable is organized. And we're going to make sure that we have a school rep, a police officer rep, a children's safety rep, and they are the ones specifically dealing with how can we improve the SRO programs.
Yeah.
So we really have a practical output goal here.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there are a lot of opportunities even beyond just that structure that we've set up. I mean, you and I have talked about, my intent is to look at some of those suggestions that come in, and I think they are rife for stories. You know, that the goal is we're trying to fold in some of our public safety stories that we're working on with this so that you get a better sense of some of the subjects that may be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is not to stop the discussion once the town hall's done. Here at the News Tribune, our plan is to continue coverage throughout the interim between the town hall and the stakeholders meeting to keep that interest going there. And then, of course, cover the stakeholders meeting as well.
So. Yeah, I mean, if everything goes off right, we should have some sort of, after the event discussion and what did it mean. And, you know, that's probably go through, say, December into January. Mm-hmm. And then right about the time that maybe we start to get a lull in that post-event interest, now we have the stakeholders meeting.
Yep.
And our discussion of the outputs of that, I'm hoping, will be practical initiatives, things that the city council's considering. You know, by the time that's going on during the summer, guess what? We're starting to plan for next year's engagement series. And so to me, this is a year-round effort. And if you don't look at improving your community as a year-round effort, then you're not really working to improve your community.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm excited about this on multiple levels, on a professional level. I'm really happy to see that just we're able to bring together the people that we have and really get solid work done. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, on a more personal level, I'm just excited to be part of it, to be perfectly honest. I kind of grew up most of my life on my own. And so coming here and being part of a community that not only wants me to be a part of it, but is interested in my ideas and ultimately wants to collectively work to make things better, I don't know how you can get a better situation than that. So, yeah, I have to say I'm about as thrilled about what's going on in the program and the development as I've been with anything I've ever done professionally.
Good, good. You know. Well, again, let's remind them, when is it?
It is next Thursday, October 15th, 6:30 to 7:30. It will be simulcast virtually by KRCG, the News Tribune, and Lincoln University virtual website, Facebook, all available platforms. So,
all right.
And again, those questions and the availability of the questions are open now through those same 3 platforms. We will collect those questions between now, up to, and through the event. And we will hope to offer the most poignant questions to the individual panelists that produce the answers people are looking for.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. And Darius, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.